you don't have to be a Shakespeare expert to be able to enjoy it with your kids, especially if we take away the pressure of thinking of Shakespeare as this separate course we have to do. It has to be very serious and significant, and we have to understand all of the allusions and the themes, and that would feel very intimidating. I couldn't just sit down and do that without doing some research and study on my own, but we don't have to go that far to make spending time with Shakespeare valuable and meaningful in our homeschool. Something as simple as just picking one play, picking one passage from it, and reading it together with your kids. That's very simple, and you don't have to be an expert, but it'll be something that becomes a part of your family vocabulary. And it'll also kind of help you get over that hump, because once you've done it with one play, you know, you've read a retelling, you've enjoyed a short passage, you're like, hey, Shakespeare's not that hard. I can do this. And so then you'll pick another play, and maybe you'll try two passages that time. So you're going to grow along with your kids. You know, Shakespeare is just like everything else we do as homeschool parents. A lot of times we don't come in already, you know, knowing all the details, but we can learn alongside our children. And that shows them too, this lifelong learning, this, hey, mom doesn't know, but that doesn't mean we don't get to learn about it, because mom's going to come and learn right beside us.
Welcome to the Homeschool Compass podcast, a show that's all about finding confidence in community and help in the wisdom of those who've gone before. I'm Amy Otto, and today I'm joined by Amy Sloan, a second-generation homeschooling mom of five. Amy is on a mission to help homeschool families enjoy Shakespeare and to see that studying Shakespeare in your homeschool doesn't need to be complicated. Even if you're not a Shakespeare expert, you can include Shakespeare in your ordinary homeschool days and have a lot of fun doing it. So if you're brand new to Shakespeare, or you want to experience more delight in your family's Shakespeare studies, this episode is for you. You'll definitely want to check the show notes page at homeschoolcompass.com/podcast for links to all the resources we mention. But for now, please enjoy my conversation with Amy Sloan.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Amy. It's really great to talk to you.
It's lovely to be here. Thank you, Amy.
Would you start out by telling us a little bit about your family and your homeschool background?
My name is Amy Sloan, and I'm a second-generation homeschooling mom of five. I was homeschooled all the way through high school graduation. My husband was homeschooled up through seventh grade, and we have five children now, ranging in age from 6 to 16.
I think, Amy, if I'm not mistaken, you are the first guest we've had that is a second-generation homeschooler. So I would love for you to tell us a little bit about what some of your favorite parts about being homeschooled were.
I am so thankful to have that experience. I'll talk to a lot of moms who are homeschooling for the first time, and so they're having to kind of readjust their mindset from a traditional school mindset, or they wonder and worry, like, is this really possible? Is this going to work? And so having that background and that really positive experience certainly is a help and a blessing to me now. I'm like, it does work. I turned out relatively normal. And also, you know, I don't have to get rid of that sort of traditional approach to education, because my whole life has been outside the box. And so I'm very comfortable following my own path, finding ways that work best for our unique family. And so I'm really thankful for that perspective. My parents definitely provided a wonderful education for my brother and for me, full of lots of good books and field trips and lots of discussions, and really seeing how everything we were learning related to our faith and how all of those things were connected together, like not separate subjects, as if all of these, you know, textbooks are somehow just like isolated, but really seeing this is all connected together. And I'm really thankful for that. I try to do that with my own kiddos now.
That's awesome. We're going to talk a little bit about Shakespeare today, and I'm curious if you have a specific moment where you first fell in love with Shakespeare or came to appreciate his plays.
Well, you know, Shakespeare is one of my favorite topics, so I'm really excited to get to chat with you about it today. We may have done Shakespeare when I was a younger child, although I don't have any memory of that. So the thing that I remember kind of grabbing my imagination with Shakespeare actually was in high school. I took a couple little classes, and that was the first time I had ever memorized anything from Shakespeare. Memorized Portia's The Quality of Mercy Is Not Strained speech from The Merchant of Venice. And then I took actually an online Shakespeare class where we just basically read a lot of plays aloud together. But it was really sort of, I think, that joyful, delight-filled way of approaching Shakespeare in high school that really set me up for wanting to learn more and for loving his plays. It was a lot of just reading aloud, not hyper-analyzing certain lines or phrases, but getting this big picture of the plays and just enjoying the language and the humor.
I think it makes so much sense that memorizing Shakespeare and reading it together with other people were some of the things that helped you fall in love with it. Of all the things that we as homeschoolers have available to us, there are so many resources and so many options for what to include in our homeschool. Why have you found that Shakespeare is something that you really want to prioritize?
You're right. There are so many good things that we can be doing. And every homeschool family has to make, again, that own unique choice for them of the things that we're going to include and the things we're not going to include, because we have finite energy, finite time, resources, right? So it's good to remember that we're not always making a choice between, like, let's pick and do all the good things and not do the bad things. It's more like, no, there are so many good things, you can't do all of them. Yeah. So just pick the ones that are best for your own family. For me personally, obviously, I've chosen to prioritize Shakespeare. I think when you think about the development of the English language, it has been so foundational to the vocabulary we use, to the phrases and quotes and allusions that come up all the time, even in pop culture, let alone in literature. The way that he is able to speak these big eternal truths about who we are as humans, both his villains and his heroes are so true to life. You see yourself in them. And I think that they give a vocabulary and a way to express some of those deep human emotions and challenges. So both from a sort of cultural perspective of the role that his language has played, and also just in that sense of it gives a vocabulary, an expression of things that find resonance within our own hearts. And then I guess those are sort of like official answers why, you know, Shakespeare is worth learning. But I would say also a big part of it is just, it's really fun. It's just beautiful. It's fun. You know, I'm not sitting here studying Shakespeare anymore than I'm studying algebra, trying to ask the question, well, what good is this? Like, when will I use this in the future? You know, I'm not so concerned about an education that everything is, you know, well, one day you will use this in your job. You know, this is something that's just beautiful and it's fun. It gives us a shared vocabulary, you know, among the kids and I, and sort of those inside jokes. And that's been really a delightful part of things.
Yeah, I love that so much. I love how your enthusiasm for it, I'm sure, is contagious with the rest of your family. I think some of us maybe have had experiences with Shakespeare where we weren't taught it in a very enjoyable way, where we were able to savor the goodness and the beauty of the language. And so if that's the experience of anyone that's listening, I hope this will help you to think through how you can approach the subject in a way that really gives life to it and shows the joy and the pleasure that we can get from enjoying these works of literature.
I like to tell people and remind them that, you know, Shakespeare was not writing these things thinking one day people will sit and read these in school and analyze them, right? He would probably be horrified. These are plays. They were meant to be performed and listened to. And they were really plays for the common people as well, right? These are just like, you know, they couldn't go to the movies. They would go to see a play. And so when you kind of think about it in that context, it's not something just for the elite. It's not just, you know, to be snooty. In fact, if you hand your teen like Hamlet and say, go read this in your room by yourself, they're probably going to hate it if that's their first introduction to Shakespeare. You know, it's not something that we're supposed to read silently and make it like a boring school project, you know, it's something to enjoy aloud and enjoy together.
If someone is brand new to Shakespeare, maybe they've never read a Shakespeare play themselves, how would you suggest that they approach this subject as a homeschool parent?
The very first thing I always do when I'm introducing a play to my kids is we read the Charles and Mary Lamb retelling of the play. So they wrote a book called Tales from Shakespeare, and not all of the plays are summarized, but a lot of the main ones that you would probably be starting with anyway are in there. And it's such a great way to kind of get your mind around the plot and the characters of the play, first of all, so you're not lost. But also the reason why I love the Lamb retellings is they include a lot of Shakespeare's original language in their retelling, so that as you then go to the play itself, you recognize, oh, yes, I recognize that phrase or quote, because you've already heard it before. So it sort of takes away the intimidation factor. And I would say start there even as an adult. That's perfectly a wonderful way to prepare yourself. You know, we're not too old for child's stories, right? A book worth reading as a child is worth reading as an adult. So I would start with a Lamb's retelling. Edith Nesbitt also has retelling, and you can certainly see what's available in your local library, although some of them are less well-written than others. So I would start with a retelling. Then as an adult, I would say, see if you can find a film adaptation to watch. I give the caveat, you do not want to be sitting down with your children watching a Shakespeare film production. Most of them are not child-friendly all the way through. Let's just put it that way. So, but as an adult, if you wanted to do that to sort of, one, capture your own imagination, if you're like, I just don't know, I'm not very excited about Shakespeare, that's a really good way to get excited and then to be able to communicate that to your kids. I like to show my own children clips from the plays. It's just, like I said, these are designed as plays. They're designed to be performed. And so it's so much fun to see a really great actor interpreting the lines that we're learning. So on my YouTube channel, I have curated playlists of clips from Shakespeare. And again, depending on the family and your children's ages and sensitivities, preview first, but almost every single clip on there I have watched with my own children. So those are a really great way to sort of start introducing the stories and the language of Shakespeare. I would actually caution against getting one of the modern retellings. Like, you can get translation on one side and the original on the other. As a mom, if you are wanting that for yourself so that you can answer any questions and that makes you feel more comfortable, go for it. But I would definitely not hand that to a younger child thinking, well, that will help them understand what's going on. For one thing, there is a lot of innuendo that occurs in Shakespeare, and it goes completely over your kids' heads. And if they read the modern translation, it will no longer go over their heads. So that's sort of one thing. And then second point of Shakespeare is the way in which he's able to use language so skillfully. And you just lose that in a modern translation. And you'll be surprised how even your very youngest children really can follow along with Shakespeare's original language. When we have listened to like an Archangel recording, the audio drama version of a Shakespeare play, even my younger kids are laughing at all the right moments. I mean, I think that points to the genius of Shakespeare, that we can still appreciate it. It's still relevant, even as, you know, modern English speakers. And again, also there you have great actors and actresses interpreting the lines and helping us understand the meaning.
That's really helpful. That's been my experience as well with little kids, that if we offer them the original language, all of the inappropriate things that we wouldn't necessarily want them to pick up on go right over their heads, but they're still able to follow the flow of the story with a little explanation and support. Is there a particular play that you suggest people start with?
Well, one of the things I always say with choosing memory work is to start with something that gets mom excited. And your own enthusiasm as a mom really can communicate so much joy and encouragement to your children. So if you already have a play that you remember you know, either watching a movie or reading it in high school, or like, I kind of remember really liking that one. I would say, don't worry about picking the perfect play. Just start with the one you're excited about. If you are coming from the perspective of, I have no idea, I don't remember anything from Shakespeare, then I would start with one of two or three plays. So one is Julius Caesar. And that's a history. We're all very familiar with the storyline of Julius Caesar. It's actually maybe not Shakespeare's greatest literary play, but it's very accessible. It's not too long. It's pretty simple, easy to follow. And it has some great monologues and great quotes that are really fun to learn and recite in your living room. So that's one that would be an easy one to start with. One of my favorite comedies is actually Much Ado About Nothing, probably because when I was a teenager, my friends and I were all obsessed with the Kenneth Branagh film version. So I just have such nostalgia and happiness and joy with that movie and that play. And actually, it is a really fun play to do with children and has some great, again, great passages to memorize, just really funny and silly. And then actually, I also really love Merchant of Venice. Remember, that was the very first play I ever remember studying or memorizing anything from. We're actually reviewing it this month as we record this in our morning time. And it is a very complicated play with a lot of dark issues, even though it's a comedy. So if you have older children, it really gives you the opportunity to have some really in-depth conversations. But it also has just some beautiful, beautiful passages to memorize. And the plot is straightforward and not too complicated. So those would be three that I would recommend starting with.
What our family has done that we've found helpful is we try to pair our Shakespeare studies with a live performance that's going to be going on in our community. So we live near Boston, and every summer on the Boston Common, they have a free Shakespeare performance of a play that goes all through the summer. So you can take your picnic blanket and sit on the lawn and watch the play with your kids. And we found that seeing the production in real life really makes things meaningful for kids in a way that me just telling them about it or reading it to them hasn't. So the first year that we did this, my kids were 4 and 6, and I was a very eager new homeschool mom. And the play that they were doing that summer was Romeo and Juliet. And I remember hesitating, thinking, this probably isn't the first play that I would have chosen to expose my children to, but it's there. And let's just see how this goes. So we read the Charles and Mary Lamb version, and we memorized a couple of passages. And I had found at the library a book that was kind of graphic novel style, but had the original Shakespeare text. And the illustrations were not what I would have wanted them to be, but it did help the kids kind of follow along with the different characters. So we read that together and kind of familiarized them with some of the language. And then I trekked everybody into the city to see this play. It was going to be our big moment. And the 4-year-old fell asleep before it even started. Thought, oh boy, maybe this was all for nothing. But then the play started and, you know, the lights go up and my little 6-year-old is sitting there with me kind of taking it all in. And we get to the part where Juliet's up in the balcony and Romeo's down below. And he says, but soft, what light through yonder window breaks? And that was one of the parts that we had memorized. And my little 6-year-old looks at me with his eyes all lit up, totally getting what's happening, totally just enraptured with the story. And I thought, okay, this was worth it. This was all worth it. It's worth the trouble of getting here. And as the play went on, there were definitely more intense parts that he had kind of gotten familiar with me at home. And he wasn't in any way freaked out or disturbed, even though he's kind of a sensitive child. He was able to just kind of assimilate what he was ready to take in, and the rest just passed right over him. And so that's kind of become our default, to try to find a production. And I've tried to do Shakespeare at other times in our homeschool, but it really doesn't have the same delight behind it as when we know, oh, there's going to be this performance that we are going to get to see at the end of it. So I've kind of just taken to making Shakespeare our summer thing, where in the months leading up to that performance, we kind of go through a play together. And that is what has worked in our family. But it seems to matter much less what this specific play is to start with, and just that you have a way to access it for them that will be approachable.
That is amazing. You are so fortunate to have that kind of live performance so close. I wish that we had something like that around here. There was one year where there was a little live Shakespeare for students that was performed close by. And so my oldest son was able to go to that with me, but that was years ago. And I keep looking and trying to find something like that. But for now, we have to stick with my YouTube clips.
Yes. And we will definitely link to that in the show notes. That's a great resource. What is the rhythm of your Shakespeare study? Do you have a certain rotation that you go through? Do you have a certain play that you do each semester? How do you organize that in your homeschool?
So in our morning time is when we do most of our memory work. And so I alternate 1 month where we'll do more random poetry or other memory work. And then the next month will be a Shakespeare month. It just seems to work well to be able to focus on that. And we can include a few passages from one play. So we sort of focus on that one play all month long. So like this month is a Shakespeare month. We're doing Merchant of Venice. August was a Shakespeare month. We did Macbeth upon one of my children's requests. How I choose them is just what I feel like doing, what I want to do, or if there's a request from a child. I'm trying to be more aware now that I have younger children who are coming up to go back and return to some of the plays we've done in the past. So we've actually done Merchant of Venice before. It was one of the very first plays we worked on together several years ago. So I'm trying to be purposeful to include review of some of the old plays as well. But mainly it's just sort of by mood, what I want, what I feel like reading and going over with the kids.
With your older kids, do you do anything beyond that morning time memorization, or is that the primary place that it happens?
Yeah, for Shakespeare right now, that is just where Shakespeare is happening for them. They have other literature that they are studying and poetry and things at other times in a more academic way. And I have thought it would be really fun to do some sort of high school level Shakespeare course. But for now, it's just what's happening in our morning time.
When you pick the passages that you're going to do for memory work, do you just go by what has resonated with you? Do you have any kind of resource that helps you think of this whole play? These are the parts that I really want us to hone in on.
Yeah. So one resource that I would point people to that can be really helpful is Ken Ludwig's book, How to Teach Your Child Shakespeare. So he has a few plays in there that he has chosen certain passages for you, and he kind of lays it out so simply for someone who is not familiar with Shakespeare at all. You could really open his book and it would walk you through as the homeschool parent how to teach these passages to your children. So I have used that in the past. A lot of times, because this is something that I really do just really enjoy and love, it's really fun for me to the month, you know, prior while I'm preparing for our new month of memory work, it's really fun for me to go and get out my old copy of a play or do a little Googling and kind of create my own little batch of memory work is more what I do now. I share that as well with my email list, and it's really been fun. I don't know. I get a little bit overboard sometimes and maybe pick too many things, but I can't help myself.
Yes. And you make a lot of those memory work lists available on your blog, so people can refer to that if they're wondering.
Yes, so it's all free up there, and whatever we're memorizing, you get to see. It's not fancy, but it's fun.
If there's anyone listening that's hearing all of this and saying, that sounds lovely, but I just really do not feel qualified to teach Shakespeare, what would you say to that mom?
Well, I would say that you don't have to be a Shakespeare expert to be able to enjoy it with your kids, especially if we take away the pressure of thinking of Shakespeare as this separate course we have to do. It has to be very serious and significant, and we have to understand all of the allusions and the themes, and that would feel very intimidating. I couldn't just sit down and do that without doing some research and study on my own, but we don't have to go that far to make spending time with Shakespeare valuable and meaningful in our homeschool. So again, something as simple as just picking one play, picking one passage from it and reading it together with your kids. But that's very simple, and you don't have to be an expert, but it'll be something that becomes a part of your family vocabulary. And it'll also kind of help you get over that hump. Because once you've done it with one play, you know, you've read a retelling, you've enjoyed a short passage, you're like, hey, Shakespeare's not that hard. I can do this. And so then you'll pick another play and maybe you'll try two passages that time. So you're going to grow along with your kids. You know, Shakespeare is just like everything else we do as homeschool parents. A lot of times we don't come in already, you know, knowing all the details, but we can learn alongside our children. And that shows them too, this lifelong learning, this, hey, mom doesn't know, but that doesn't mean we don't get to learn about it because mom's going to come and learn right beside us.
I think that's such a great point that we don't have to come at it as English professors with this whole wealth of knowledge. And in some ways, it's even detrimental, I think, to our children if we try to parse out each line by line, going word by word. It just kills the joy of Shakespeare in a lot of ways.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you personally have a favorite Shakespeare play, Amy?
Well, I think probably Much Ado About Nothing will always have a very special place in my heart just because of my memories and experiences with it. Again, if you're talking about older teens or parents, I would recommend the Kenneth Branagh film adaptation of that play. It's delightful. And then for the tragedies, I just love Hamlet. I really love Hamlet. I own like more than a dozen copies of Hamlet. I have watched many performances of Hamlet. I love it. I find it moving and powerful every time I read it. I see something new. So those would probably be my two favorites.
Do you have any final words of encouragement for the homeschool moms that are listening?
I think that I would love to just encourage homeschool moms that homeschooling is not a vending machine. This is something I love to say. And I think especially as a second generation homeschooler, it just, the truth of it resonates. A lot of times we think we're going to push the buttons and get out the result. And just to remember that our children aren't products and they're not robots. And we can rest in the grace of God at work in ourselves and in our children and in our homes. And that just takes a lot of that pressure that we can put ourselves under, takes it away.
Thank you so much for sharing your love of Shakespeare with us, Amy, and for sharing all these practical suggestions with us. If people want to connect with you more, where can they find you online?
Thank you for having me. This has been fun. I would love to have people come over to my website. That's humilityanddoxology.com. And you can also subscribe to my podcast in your favorite podcast player. That's Homeschool Conversations with Humility and Doxology. And then I'm Humility and Doxology on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube as well.
Thank you so much, Amy, for sharing the joy of Shakespeare with us today. I hope you'll check out the show notes page at homeschoolcompass.com/podcast for links to Amy's YouTube channel and her free Getting Started with Shakespeare workshop and lots more ideas for simple ways to include Shakespeare in your homeschool. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be so grateful if you'd follow the Homeschool Compass podcast in your favorite podcast player and share this episode with a friend. Thank you so much for listening today. And until next time, remember, you are loved and you are not alone.